competition at any level for an athlete can be quite daunting sometimes, right? Especially if you haven't competed a lot before, and especially if you're doing certain sports like combat sports, right? But in any competition, people who are especially newcomers to sport and to competition can find themselves really being crippled by anxiety. They don't feel like they have the confidence to be able to get the results they want. They don't want to be humiliated in front of their coach, in front of their friends, in front of their family, and even for themselves, right? They want to win. And who doesn't want to win, right? But ultimately, in any competition, somebody's going to come out a loser, right? Somebody's going to come out a winner, somebody's going to come out a loser. It's just the way it is. And here are five things that you can implement right now that can help you from overcoming that crippling feeling of anxiety the next time you go into your competition. So just a quick backstory. When I came to Dubai, there was no wrestling competitions. Wrestling is what I have been doing more prominently since COVID. And unfortunately, there hasn't been no wrestling competition so far. There's not a big sport here just yet. However, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a very big sport here. In fact, it's like a national sport here. And in fact, it's so big and so prominent that they typically don't run many competitions that allow for white belts to enter. You must be minimum blue belt or above. Every now and again, they have a white belt competition, a competition where white belts can enter. And obviously, I don't train Jiu-Jitsu. In the last, I don't know, 5 years, I might have done maybe 10, 11 roles, right? And I'll jump in a class, learn whatever's there, and just have a role because friends are there or whatever. So jiu-jitsu is not my thing. Wrestling is. However, it's close enough to wrestling because wrestling is involved. So knowing that there's no wrestling competitions here, I was on the lookout for any jiu-jitsu competitions that allow a white belt to enter. So I can jump in and keep touch with competition. I don't like to be away from competition for too long because it's important to maintain presence in competition to keep a finger on the pulse in terms of how it feels, right? The mental aspect of things, how to prepare for your next match, and so on and so forth. So 5 days out, the guys tell me there's a competition coming up and white belts are allowed to enter. I was like, beautiful, put my name down. So I jumped on, registered, and away we went. I turned up to this competition and it was a great day. Managed to win gold in my weight division. And so in doing the comp, there's a few things that are still fresh in my mind that I wanted to talk about from a sports psychology perspective that I think is very important whilst it's fresh in my mind, to be able to tell you guys out there, so that maybe you guys can also benefit from it as well. Here are five things you can do to help prevent you having crippling anxiety the next time you have a competition coming up, whether you're a powerlifter or a combat sport athlete or anything else for that matter. The first thing that I want to talk about is, if you really step back and look at things, a competition is just a name. It's just a label that's being given to a particular thing. If you look at it from a bird's eye view, if you detach yourself and step back and look at how things actually are, it's just another training day. It just so happens that they call it a competition. It just so happens that it's in another venue than you normally go to for your training days. It just so happens that there's more people there, some faces that you don't see coming there to watch everybody. Right? Normally when you go to your normal training nights, when you go to roll, when you go to spa or whatever, there's probably people there that you haven't seen before, right? They're watching. You don't pay them no mind. It's the same thing. It's just more of them there. There happens to be a fancy camera there maybe, or a television set showing scores or something like that. But at the end of the day, when you take all of that away, it's just another training day. It's just like if you were to go to an open mat session at another gym, at a different gym. It'll be a different venue, a different building, with different people, different faces. But ultimately, you're doing the same thing. You're doing wrestling or jiu-jitsu or boxing or whatever it is that you're going to be doing, or powerlifting, right? So the first thing that you have to understand is to help prevent that anxiety is that it's just another day. It's just another one of your training sessions that you've been doing week in and week out, multiple times a week for the last X amount of months or years, right? So you don't need to give it any special meaning or label other than that. So that's number one. The second thing is, you don't need to try to make that feeling of butterflies in your stomach go away, right? All you need to do is practice a little bit of mindfulness. And mindfulness is about realizing, feeling, noticing whatever is there at the time where you are, and not giving anything any particular meaning. Nothing is particularly good, nothing is particularly bad. I mean, if you want to give something a good meaning, a good label, fantastic, even better, right? But you certainly don't need to give it a negative meaning. It just is, right? That's first of all. So if you're feeling a particular feeling, like butterflies in your stomach, yeah, I'm feeling butterflies in my stomach. It's neither here nor there. It's neither good nor bad, right? But further to that, what's important to understand, and not a lot of people know this, is that butterflies in your stomach, the feeling of anxiety and the feeling of excitement in terms of the body's triggers, the body's responses to both of those feelings, those events, is actually exactly the same. It's just the label we give to it as human beings. Like it's the label that our mind consciously gives it, or we choose to give it, that makes it good or bad. But it's actually the same. The same things that happen in your body, increased rate of heart rate, the release of certain hormones like adrenaline, right? Dilation of pupils, increased rate of breathing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is the same thing that happens when you are, when you can't sleep, when you're excited because you're traveling the next day to some place you always wanted to go to, right? The same way when you can't sleep because the next day you've got a competition coming or whatever, the same exact responses are happening in the body. Increased heart rate, increased rate of breathing, the releasing of adrenaline, all of that stuff. It is just that we choose to not be mindful and give it a particular label, a particular meaning. So understand that you don't want it to go away. It's like the other part of this is you don't want it to go away because that response that the body is giving you, where you are having increased heart rate, having a release of adrenaline, that release of adrenaline, all the things that follow on from there, your increased rate of breathing, your increased heart rate, all of that, your body is actually helping you turn into a superhuman for a moment in time. You become stronger, you become more resistant to fatigue, you become more tolerable to pain, you are more explosive, your reaction time is better, etc., etc. All of those things are exactly what you want. You are, in effect, taking a performance-enhancing drug that is legal, right? Because your body makes it. So you don't want it to go away. Those butterflies in your stomach are just a feeling that comes at the same time as this performance enhancement that you actually have at your disposal. But we just give it a negative meaning. It doesn't, because it doesn't feel pleasant, right? And we associate that feeling with times in the past where we've also had that feeling and maybe things didn't turn out well or it was an unpleasant experience. So we think that this is also going to be the same thing. This one takes a little bit of practice, but one of the best ways to do it is to actually practice mindfulness. So if you just look up on YouTube, mindfulness practice, mindfulness meditation, and just practice that, it's very easy. It's something you could do anytime, anywhere, where you are just where you are. And you might notice something, whether it's an actual tangible physical thing or a feeling, but you don't have to give it any meaning. It's as if you're standing on the side of the road and cars are passing you by. You're just letting cars go by. You don't attach any meaning in particular to any one of the cars. You don't read into it or anything like that. And the more you do this, the more you practice it, the easier it becomes to just have XYZ feelings and not be attached or influenced by those feelings in any way at all. The third thing is that you have to understand and believe in yourself that you have the tools, the capabilities, everything that is necessary for you to be able to handle whatever is put in front of you, whatever task is put in front of you. So once you register, like once I registered my name for this competition, I didn't look back and see who's in my bracket, how many people, who's this guy, try to find him on Instagram to see what he looks like, how big he is, how small he is. Has he done other I don't care. It doesn't matter, because whatever task, whichever person they put in front of me, I know, looking back at what I have done, the amount of work I've put into my wrestling training is going to be enough to deal with this task in front of me, even though I'm not a jiu-jitsu guy and I've only done a handful of jiu-jitsu classes. I know, whether this is logical or not to people listening to this, it's just a feeling in me. I know that that is adequate for me to be able to go into a jiu-jitsu comp at that skill level of jiu-jitsu and still be able to perform well, right? Yeah. Just to remember that perform well. I'm going to get back to that in a second, because that's important in another one of the points. So what I'm trying to get across is you don't need to read into things too much. You have to be sure of yourself to know that you have the tools, the skill sets available in you already to be able to deal with whatever tasks they put in front of you. You have the ability to mix it with the best out there in your field and win. You might not necessarily win, but you have the capability, you have all the necessary tools, requirements to be able to win. This is very important to distinguish, because we don't want to think I'm going to win or I'm going to lose. That is irrelevant. It's a moot point. You don't have any control over winning or losing. What you have control over is deciding, right? Not thinking, deciding that you have the skill set to be able to win. And the other thing you have control over is actually doing the things that is required of somebody to win a match, right? So, for example, if you've been taught in wrestling to keep your hands in, right? Not keep your elbows out, because that can expose you. To keep your head low, keep your level low, right? Basic things like that. Hand fighting, snap downs, whatever, right? Keeping your hands busy. Keeping your hands busy, right? That's a really good one. If you know that that's what you're supposed to do, and that's a basic of the game of wrestling, and you don't do it, well, you're not doing the things you can do that you have control over in order to be able to put together a win. So it's just like when you're mixing a cake, right? You're just adding ingredients in there. And an ingredient is keeping your hands busy. An ingredient is keeping your head level lower than your opponent's, right? An ingredient is this, as that, it's that. And all of those together, when they come together and you mix it together and they're consistent, that's when a win is more likely to occur, right? That's when you've done everything you can do to try and work towards a win. And that's what you need to be able to get to. The fourth thing, and this is very important, is that you need to understand what your optimal arousal level is. You need to figure out what your optimal arousal level is. And what I mean by that is, different sports require, even for the same person, to be at a different level of hype, right? When I used to compete in powerlifting, obviously powerlifting compared to combat sports is not something that is as skillful, right? Like the execution of a deadlift is not so intricate as the execution of a punch, right? Yeah. Or a particular combo that you have to put together in MMA. So for that reason, on an average, you'll see that in the sport of powerlifting, the level of arousal is very high, right? People are always getting hyped. They're getting a slap on the back, a slap on the face. They're sniffing ammonia before they go out for their lift and things like that. And that works because it's a very gross motor movement skill that just requires you to be a gorilla and exert as much force as you possibly can onto this barbell that's not going to fight back. There's not much else required, right? Whereas I noticed when I switched over to wrestling, I would perform really badly when I would go out there on the mats and in the early days and have that same level of higher arousal because I would make mistakes. I would not see one or two moves ahead when it's clearly there. It would just get simply to a point where I would look back at videos of myself wrestling and be like, that's not me. That's not how I wrestle. I know I wrestle much more calculated, much more skillfully in training when I'm around a more calmer environment, right? Because I'm wrestling with people I know, around people I know, in a more familiar environment, etc. So once I learned how to bring my arousal level down for combat sports much more lower than powerlifting, that's when I started to perform much better. And that's exactly what happened on the weekend. I was totally calm, like almost at conversational level. I wasn't thinking anything aggressive per se, more like targeted, kind of like a sniper, right? If you want to think about it like that. I just knew what I had to do. I knew the things that I needed to put together in order to be able to win. I would just have a much better time, a much better performance. So I noticed over time that when it came to powerlifting, I needed to be switched on, flame on all the way. Whereas when it came to combat sports, I needed to be more ice cold, right? Much more calmer to the point that I'm almost, like I said, conversational. That way my reaction time would be better. I would not waste energy when I would wrestle, right? I would be less inefficient in my movements, not make stupid mistakes. This for me helped me immensely. And this is also something I noticed on the weekend when I would be going into a match with somebody who clearly I could tell was maybe not as experienced in terms of competition. Already the rate of breathing is much higher. I could hear it. Too tight, right? They're pushing too much, using too much strength to try and get or force a particular position or try and force a particular thing with the hand fighting when it's just not there. Whereas I'd be more fluid, I'd be more relaxed. And so I didn't feel tired at all during any of my matches. And so this was a very important lesson that I learned as time went on, to be able to control the arousal level. And by the way, this isn't something that I discovered. This is a concept called the inverted U hypothesis, where it has been established that in different sports, the amount of arousal that's required for that sport is different for different people. So obviously, for you watching this, the amount of hype you need to play the darts is going to be different to the amount of hype you need to be able to kick a door as hard as you can, right? So finding that, like if you were to apply the same amount of hype to kicking a door as you would play the darts, you would not be able to kick very hard. Conversely, if you were to be as hyped as kicking down a door when trying to play darts, your aim would be completely off. The final point that's very important is what I was talking about before, which is that I know that I'm going to perform well. So what I mean by that, at no point when I do competitions any longer, at least the last few times and the ones that I've done well, I've really enjoyed myself and I've actually had a very good outcome, I don't really any longer think that I'm going to go into this competition and win gold or win whatever, right? First place, third place, second. I don't think about placing or winning necessarily even, right? I just know in myself, and I can't explain to you how, but I just know that I'm going to have a good competition. Whatever, I don't know what the results are going to be. I don't think about the results per se. Definitively, like I'm going to come first, I'm going to win gold, or anything like that. It's really difficult to explain. I just really know in myself that by the time it's all said and done on the day, it's going to be a good day. I'm going to have a good competition. And I don't know if that equates to a gold medal, a first place, a third place, a second place, or whatever. And every time I have thought this, I have won a medal. I have actually performed even better than I thought, right? I don't waste any more time any longer thinking about things like that, that I have no real control over. It's just that a knowing inside yourself that this is going to be a good competition. I don't know what the results are going to be. I'm not giving it any particular thought. In fact, at this jiu-jitsu competition on the weekend, I remember a couple of times getting carried away, thinking, I just won that match. If I win this one, if I beat this guy, then I'll be getting into the gold medal. I want the gold medal, right? But I would actually stop myself then and there and remind myself that, hey, you've got a task in front of you. The gold medal is not the thing you can do, so to speak, right? If that makes sense. What you need to do is forget about what you just did. Forget about what's to come, like later on, gold medal or whatever. What you've got in front of you is you need to do the same thing that you just did before. You need to overcome this next obstacle, this next challenge, this next person in front of you. Just focus on that. Don't worry about gold medal. Don't look over there. You're here now. This is where you are. The gold medal or whatever, first place or whatever, right? In whatever competition or whatever scenario this applies to for you, is over there. We're not there yet. We are crossing one bridge after another. Cross this bridge. Focus on how to best cross this bridge that you're in front of right now and get to the other side and just take one foot in front of the other, if that makes sense. Once I started thinking like that in my last handful of competitions, that's when a lot of things start to click a lot more for me. And it's one of those things that it's hard to explain, but you've got to do it yourself, and you'll sort of come to the same conclusion. You'll know what I mean. So that's it, guys. Those are five key takeaways that I wanted to put in recording while it's still fresh in my mind from the weekend. And these five are things that I have noticed myself doing more consistently in the last few years, where it's allowed me to enjoy competition regardless of the result and look forward to competition, not be crippled by anxiety and stupid negative thoughts about what if this and what if that. And I hope it helps you as well.